and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebupule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Hey, just before the episode, this is a quick reminder to say if you're hearing this, it means you are not yet a subscriber of the Stretch Podcast. We don't run adverts on the Stretch Podcast. Our focus is on giving great conversations with equally great guests. So our income for the podcast is directly from you, the listener, you, the subscriber. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. In the meantime, you will get a partial episode. We trust that you will love it enough to subscribe. Hey, Dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebupule, your host, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today I am in conversation with one of my sons, Stabiso Mthethwa, also known as Stebby in his dance world or his stage name. You know, these young people, they just love the stage name. For an example, my son Tebe, stage name is Stana. And also Dao also has his stage name, and his stage name is Rizzo. So, you know, Stabiso's name as Stebby has catched on such that almost everybody calls him Stebby, and he was quite pleased that I call him Stabiso. Now, this conversation is very fascinating. I think it's the first of its kind in the history of the Stretch Podcast, in that it is and also the topic is, it's the first I've never had, unless if it's because I don't listen to youth radio, maybe they do talk about it, but I've never had any radio mainstream or even podcast talking about adulting. You know, even the phrase adulting came with the millennials. So we didn't have the phrase adulting, Rona, my generation. We just had to get on with the business of being an adult and just getting on with it. And the whole thing of adulting is a scam, hashtag adulting is a trap, came with the millennials, you know, with the hashtags on social media. So we talk about that, but I have to tell you, I have to warn you. So Stabiso is a storyteller. You know, Stabiso, next time when you do your profile, just say dancer, entrepreneur, fitness enthusiast, and storyteller. Because I see that side of you also growing, especially as you get older and venture deep into other things. You are going to be like an incredible storyteller. And you will hear it in the conversation, what I mean, that he's a storyteller. So the conversation, the heart of the conversation is about adulting. And by that, I mean we talk about the different generations, how we do relationships, my generation, the 70s, how we approach relationships versus them, how we approach work versus them, how we view success versus them, how we think something is great versus how they think something is great. It's completely, completely different. And you're gonna love how he views relationships, how he views success, and also the whole career thing. For an example, Stabiso has a degree in IT. I don't remember what specialty, but he has a degree in IT, but he didn't pursue that. He worked for 6 months and he pursued dance, because that's where his heart is, that's where the soul is. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the millennials, the people who were born in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, are going for passion rather than security, or how we went for stability and security. And I know not all, but a large number of them just don't do this whole 8-to-5 thing. This 9-to-5, it doesn't work for them. So he opted to venture out as a dancer, and he is one of the well-known dancers in our country, and I'm going to read his bio just now. And so I want to also tell you how the conversation came about. It was actually inspired by one of my students, a millennial herself, Gatli, in our back and forth conversation via DM and WhatsApp, through some of the things she shared with me. A light bulb moment happened that, you know, perhaps I should have a conversation around adulting, around how millennials, young people today, face the harsh realities of being an adult in this world. And initially the conversation was going to be between me, her, and Staviso, because I wanted a girl and a boy. But for some reason, Gatli couldn't make it. She's quite busy working on some paper or something, like really, really busy. But I tell you now, Staviso more than covered for her. You know, I was saying to Staviso at the end of the conversation, at the end of a very long conversation, that, you know, it's like I had four people on because of just how diverse he is and how much depth he has in terms of answering some of the questions. For an example, how he responded to why is it that the young people today, the millennials, don't have babies. Like, I mean, by 25 I had two kids, and it's not a very unique story. Most of us in the 70s, by the time we were 29, some of us have had two kids or so. And most of them, not all, once again, but most of them don't have kids, and it's not promising, as I always say to Tsolo, that Tsolo doesn't have a child, and it's not promising. So he explains, I mean, you're gonna love how he explains why that is. And you on the partial episode this time around, I'm sure you can see that the episode is quite long for you as well. You're getting a 28 minute freebie. The reason you're getting a 28 minute is because the conversation is nearly 2 hours. So even with the 28 minutes, you're still missing 1.5 hour of a very, very good conversation. And so when I get more, I give more. That's just how we roll on the Stretch Podcast. And here's the sad part. Even in the 28 minutes, you don't get to the conversation on adulting. So the first 30 minutes is really about Stebby's profile, who he is, where he comes from. We talk a lot about his upbringing, his mother. You're gonna love his mother. You're gonna love how he views his mother. Like I say, he's a storyteller. So, you know, I let him speak. And I did that deliberately because we need to let the young people talk. So you will hear that the conversation is quite different in that he's talking far more than me. And it's a deliberate move because we really need to hear young people. We really need to hear them. So let me read his bio. And after the bio, I'm going to give you the conversation. I don't want to prolong the intro. The bio is there on the show notes. His social media handles are there, and you know, ways to get hold of him are also there, just in case you are a big shot and you want dancers for your year end or whatever, because they do a lot of that. So let me read his bio. Staviso Mthethwa, also known as Stebby, is a dancer born and raised in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. His love for dance started when he was 14 years old, when he used to watch music videos on MTV and try to copy what the dancers were doing. Musicians such as Michael Jackson, Usher Raymond, Chris Brown, and many more. He spent the rest of his high school life studying the art of dance, being mentored by some of the best dancers in and around South Africa. He moved to Johannesburg in 2014, where he began his professional career in dance. His primary style of dance are crump and hip hop. Since launching his dance career, Stebby has been casted in some of the country's biggest shows and gracing stages, the stage locally and internationally. So I just want to touch on some of those big stages. They are there on the show notes, but they are worth mentioning. Afrikaans is Groot. Now, Afrikaans is Groot, guys, is a huge event. I once attended it, once again being invited by my daughter. Classic is Groot is also another big one. We all know Sexpo. If you don't know Sexpo, yeah, you know, what's wrong with you? Wild Coast on Broadway, Vodacom CEO Awards, Netbank Top Achievers, to name but a few, Tupperware and Avroche Lane. And most of these, he does them with my daughter Tsolo, which is how I know Stebby. I know him through my daughter. I was introduced to him by my daughter. The first time I met him, which is something we talk about in the conversation, he was doing a Michael Jackson show at Emperor's Palace. Now, without much ado, I give you my conversation with Stebby So, aka Stebby. Hello, yeah. Stebby So, or should I call you Stebby? You know your stage name.
Stebby So is fun. I miss being called that name.
Ah, that's nice. So I'm going to call you Stebby So because you are like a son to me. And yes. I'll throw in Stebby if I want to like vibe with y'all because I love millennials. Welcome to the Stretch Podcast. I've been meaning to have you for a while. Actually, I wanted to have you on in 2020, if you recall, around
yes,
how
the
people in the entertainment
the
industry
the lockdown.
Very, very hard, yeah. So, but anyway, here we are, and I think we are talking about a better topic, if you like. You know, we are talking about adulting for you guys, the millennials. Before we even start, I want to say that you are my favorite group of people. So the millennials are my sweet spot. So I love you guys so much, and I want to know what's going on with you and how you are coping with adulting, with all sorts of things. But before we start, maybe tell us a little bit who you are, what you do. And for my listener's sake, I mean, I know, but for the listener's sake.
Okay. Nami ngizokubiza mama ke ngingikubize ngegama. Thank you so much for having me firstly. And yeah, once again, it has been a long overdue interaction since 2020 indeed. So ikama lami ngusithabi so akamthethwa ngiphuma KwaZulu Natal. Grew up in KZN. I finished my matriculants in Pietermaritzburg in KZN, and I went to college in KZN. I studied IT. I have a degree in information technology, specializing in networking. I have a degree in information technology, specializing in network. Yeah. I've always been a very artistic person, a child growing up. In school, I would participate in everything.
Yeah.
When I tell you, so I went to an old Zulu school in a township in KZN. So I used to do isicathamiya, indlama, sang in the choir, I used to act. Yo, I was just that kid, Nje, that I was in everything.
Yeah.
And so art was never a foreign language to me. It was never a foreign thing. I always just used to appreciate it. We loved music growing up. I loved music when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then later on in life, I then lived with my mother. She was a single mom, widowed mom. My dad passed away when I was 8 years old. And then from the time I think I was 10 or 11, I then lived with my mom. Which was very weird because then I was so used to being kwagogo with all my cousins and aunts and uncles, and you know, to this house with just me and my mom.
Yeah, nice.
You know, and then it kind of played on my character development a little bit because it took me a while to get used to it. Because I was such an extroverted person, but now I'm forced to be, and as kids, as being raised by a black woman, there's no conversation in the house. It's you do your dishes, you do your homework, you get out of my face. Let me work,
Interesting. Yeah.
let me do my job. You do make sure your room is clean, and also her raising a son, she didn't want me to be dependent on her because her job needed her to be away from home sometimes. So I was cooking, I was cleaning, I was doing laundry.
That's interesting.
I was making my own lunch to school. I just knew I had my own house keys. I remember my friends used to be so shook that when I come to school, I had my house keys. They're like, "Why do you have your house keys? Does no one live at home?" I'm like, "Yeah, because when I go home, my mother is not
No
there. She's at
one.
work." She's like, "So then, who makes food for you when you get back from home? Who makes sure your homework gets done?" Me. I'm raising. I'm pretty much, But it was never a thing of, it was never a pity thing, right? It was just, that's how my mom said to me, like, "This is how we're gonna live now, my boy," and I was like, "Cool," and then she moved to Pietermaritzburg later on. She got a job, and then she wanted to leave me there so I can finish school because I was then so used to the environment there. But because I always felt like I was so different because everyone used to have a mother and a father, and I was the only one that just had a mother. And everyone used to have this family of five, and I was the only one with just a family of one. Now she wants to leave me again, so I had this only child syndrome character that no, I want to come with you. Like, why are you leaving me? And then I play with the emotions a little bit. As a kid, I was like, "Well, you're not gonna leave me here. We just started to get to know each other. I was with my grandparents for a time, and then now you want to leave me to go to another city here." She's like, "Yeah, but you have to finish your matric." And I was like, "No, I'm coming with you."
Now.
I remember she reminded me that I threatened that I will fail for the rest of the years I have in school just because I wanted to. I was like, "Wow, I was a terrible kid." And then she took me with her to Pietermaritzburg. That's where I finished my matric and then went to college. And then I had an opportunity to go study in Cape Town, Johannesburg, all of these universities because I passed really well. And then I was accepted in all of these. And then I said, "No, I want to study in the backyard of our
My
house,
house, yeah.
right here in Pietermaritzburg. I don't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to leave home for so long." And then I did work. I studied IT and then I graduated and I took a gap year and then I worked. All of this happening, I am dancing. I'm going to dance competition. I'm in a dance crew. All of this is happening. I'm studying. I'm doing all this. I am dancing. I'm entering national competitions. I'm on TV. I'm dancing. Your TV this, your TV that. Yo, I am, and
You have physically.
it's such a, sometimes my mom's like, "How are you managing all of this?" I'm like, "Well, the one is such a passion." I mean, they both a passion. I'm still IT passionate person, but like dancing just always fed my soul because it spoke to my childhood, self. And so I was like, then I worked for 6 months as an IT guy and I hated it.
I want to go there a little bit. So, to just interject there, thank you for sharing that backstory. I mean, you gave me more than I expected, and I want to just backtrack a little bit because you touched on a subject that I didn't think we'll touch on, but let's go there. Do you think being raised by a mother, and as an only child, made you sort of protective of her? Like, were you the man? Did you get a sense that you were the man, which is why you didn't want to be left alone? You went to Pietermaritzburg with her. You didn't want to go to UCT. You stayed with her. Did you have that sense of, I'm protecting my mom? And I'm asking this as a single mother with two boys, and I know how my sons respond. Lomunye ulala ikolo esivaliwe, he's 16, and I'm already starting to see him just being Babanyana wang, Baba
Stepping
Sendi.
forward.
Yes, did that happen to you? Do you think that was
It did. And it did. And the crazy thing is that we are not aware of it.
Yeah, it's subconscious.
When it's happening, we don't know why the sudden urge to want to be the one that's locking the door at night and making sure that the windows are closed, when all along your mom had to remind you, you slept with the door open and you didn't care. And suddenly you're the one that's locking the gate, you're the one that's locking the front door, you're the one checking the windows that are open. In the morning, you're the one when she's making coffee, you go to the garage, you take the car out the garage, you reverse
Nice.
it, you make sure that it's ready for her to, you know, you don't know why these things happen. And it's not because of, oh, now suddenly I need to be the man, or there's no father around. And also because I have no other reference, you know. And I always tell this to people, is like, I can't reference anything else. This is what I know. You know, I remember the one time she had a boyfriend. Oh my goodness, this is when I
Oh, thank
knew.
you for going there because I was going to go there. Let's talk about the mama
This is when I knew, okay, no, this is different. Who are you, sir, and why are you here? You know, now you wanna be opening the doors for my mama. Sorry, I got this, you know. Me and my mama are fine. Get out of here. What are you doing? You
Wow.
know? You know, and you also don't know why that is. You know, there's this gentleman who's trying to make your mother happy, and
You just
you don't
don't like
want.
it.
It's not that you don't want your mother happy. You don't want him making your mother happy because you feel like that's your role.
Oh,
And you're
wow.
like, you know, and as you grow up, you're like, why was I such a bad kid to this man that was just trying to make my mother happy, you know? And so, yeah, you actually, there's no reference, because all we you later on in life, you attract most of my friends in my crew. We were all raised by single moms, right? And later on, we've attracted each other, and we speak about these things. You're like, my goodness, what the hell was happening? You know, you wanted to fight a grown man, knowing very well you would lose, but you would do anything to fight. I remember just like starting stupid fights with this guy, and I was just like, why? Now I'm just like, why? You
And
know,
is
just
she?
because he would tell me the same thing my mom was going to tell me, you know, just like, make sure your plate is not on the sofa, it's in the sink. No, no, no. What? Yeah. Look, my mom, this is my mother's house, like, you know. And then your mother comes home and your mother tells you the same thing, and you
You
do
stand
it
up and you
gently,
do it. I think,
you
I
know.
mean, I know why, because my field of work deals with it. I know the whole masculinity and femininity vibe and the territorialness. The territory, you're just being territorial, but it's at the back of your mind. It's not conscious. You didn't mean it. And also, is
My
she
goodness.
is did your mom get married, or
My
she?
mom was married to my dad, and
And then your
yeah,
dad
that
passed away, but what I'm asking is she never did remarry.
remarried. No,
Okay.
she never
She never
remarried.
remarried.
And then after that, when we moved, then when she got another job, she moved to another city, and then obviously things weren't gonna work out, you know. Obviously, I'm a child, I don't know what's happening, but it after that, she's a single mom for a long time, for my
Remember.
most of
Because that's what
my
we
life.
do, especially with boy children. That's what we do. She sounds like a sober mom, badly. Like, and I like your mom.
Sober-minded.
So.
Look, she did quite share with me that she did have an opportunity to remarry, and because the guy had kids as well. And then she said if she had remarried, she would have had to change her surname to his surname, and then in the household I would have been the only one, or Agamthethwa, and everyone else.
Is
And she just
messy.
didn't, yeah. And she just she didn't want to put me through that.
That's
But it also just shows me the strength of a mother's love, that you will put yourself second. You know, because she could have remarried, and but then the dynamics of that, when you have a child as well, is that you're now thinking of this person. You know, because obviously I can't change my surname if she remarries.
Yeah, no, of course.
I am who I am, but she can, and she has then will be part of this new family, and then identify as that part of that family, and then it's just like, oh, it's a lot of dynamics. And then
Yeah, no, it's
I
a
think at the
me
time.
from sort of from a mom who understands where she comes from, I think it was a good decision.
Yeah, till this day, I'm forever grateful,
No, she good mom.
for those decisions that she's made for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for that background. Beautiful background. Now, let's move on to the next subject. Career. So you do IT, you get a degree, but you opt for dancing. I mean, you guys, what is wrong with you people? Why did you not? Because lucratively speaking, the IT thing could have set you up financially. You know, you would have probably gotten more money quicker, more stability, so to speak, than dance.
100
Take me through
percent.
your decision making around dance and IT.
So now I'm taking this gap year and I'm doing dance full time. But I'm living in a small town in Pietermaritzburg, and there's only so much eMgungundlovu, eThekwini. You know, there's only so much visibility you have nationwide. So we're trying to travel to Johannesburg to be seen. We travel to Durban to be seen. We're trying to do all this thing as a crew together, right? And look, we're loving it, but financially, it's just, you know, we still have to ask our parents for money to go. We have to ask the local municipality to sponsor our bus trip. And then the whole year passes. And then my mom goes, okay, you asked for a year. The year is over. What are we doing next year? You're old now, and you need to become independent. You've always been independent, but I think you need to become independent. And I'm like, but mommy, like, listen to me. You know, the guys we're speaking next year, we do big things, you know. And she was just like, look, when we spoke before you after your studies, you asked for a year. And we agreed on a year. And on principle, the year is gone, and now it's time to do what you said to me you were gonna do. This is not me telling you what to do. You asked for a year. The year is gone. What are we doing now? Okay, cool. So I was like, well, break a man of his word. I'm gonna be a man of my word. So I had to break the news to the team, guys. I can't dance as much anymore because I have to go work at 9 to 5. Oh my God, so boring. So now I have to look for a job, right? So luckily, I'm one of those people who I make sure that I keep in contact with people that I come across in life. You know, I can still call friends that I was in high school with and be
Nice.
like, where are you? Where are you, what's happening? Can I can still call people in that I was in college with and be like, who? So I just picked up the phone and I called my friend who I started IT with, and I was like, hey man, where are you? What are you doing? I need a job. He's like, oh, you just in luck. We need an extra IT person. So I start working. So I start working. I love IT and I'm good at it as well, you know. And so I start working, but also because I'm good at it, I need challenges. And the place where I was at, there's only so much you can do, you know. So I'm at the office working, but then I'm watching dance videos, I'm dancing, I'm talking to my friends, send me the routine, let's go. And then they closed the branch in Pietermaritzburg. They were meant to retrench everybody. They're like, no, you're very good. Come to Durban. You
Nice.
know, so now I had to move to Durban. Now I'm in Durban. You know, there's lots of dancers there around. I'm not
Okay.
thinking about work. I'm thinking, oh, closer to the
Devon is
dances.
a dance hub, né? As well.
Yeah, for
Is
KZN, it is.
a
I'm this close. I'm in the dance hub of KZN, but I can't do anything with it. I wasn't diagnosed by a professional, but I think I was depressed. I
Yeah.
know I was. I know I was because I was working. And then I was living with my aunt at that time, my mom's sister. And then I would come back home for after 6 and dance from like
Oh,
7 to like 10.
on your own,
Dance on my own because I
just
have to keep
move your
up, you know. I
body.
have to move, you know. And then my cousins would join me, you know. I would go to the beach because she lives in South South Beach, go to the beach and run and train and dance there because I just needed fresh air. I would run in the mornings. And then one day, my aunt just asked me a simple question. She said, "You know, because of you, we watched So You Think You Can Dance, America's Type Got Talent, all of these things. And we always see stories of people buying one-way bus trips to LA to go audition, sleep on the train station, buy a one-way flight from another country. And you know, they put everything on the line to do what they want to do and follow their passion and their dream." I'm like, yeah, I know all of that." She's like, "What have you done to make sure that your dream, you live your dream? Like, what extent, what extreme have you done? You know, it's like, what risk have you
Never,
taken that
never lose.
your dream, you are living a dream?" I said, "None, I guess, according to your standard and everyone else's standard, I haven't done anything." She's
All you
like,
do is just dance after work.
"You know?" She's like, "Well, yeah, I'm gonna leave it at that." So now I'm like, "Oh my goodness." So now, core friends from high school that I enjoy with dancing, I'm like, "Guys, I have to come to Johannesburg. What do I need to do?" And no one is giving me a straight answer. All they said was, "Just come to Joburg." I was like, "What does that mean?" But now this is my safe side fighting the extreme side. So now I'm like, "Come to where? Go where though? Stay where? Leave where?" You know, I'm asking all these, and they're just like, "Just come here." I'm like, "Guys, I'm working at a job. I'm getting paid. Go to, you know." And then I had other friends, and I spoke to them about it. They're like, "Let's do it. Let's go." I'm like, "Are you guys serious?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's go." So now I've been working at this company for 6 months. So I send in, we book a bus ticket to a park station. This is Monday. We book a bus the Sunday, then we're gonna have to start the new week. On Monday, I send in my resignation letter. That Friday is my last day. Because the bus ticket was for Sunday, the following Sunday. Everyone at work was like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Yeah." It's like, "Where are you going?" "I don't know." "I actually don't know. But I'm going because I know I need to go and dance." Everyone thought I was lying. Everyone thought, "Ah, you know." Friday came, left. My mom didn't even know, by the way.
Yeah, and of course your mom didn't know.
I go to my aunt's place, I pack my stuff. I take a taxi to Pietermaritzburg. I get home Friday night. Get home. Mom is not, you know. Saturday, I'm like, I have one day to tell my mom that tomorrow I'm leaving. Saturday, I was like, "Mom, so this is what I've done. I've resigned with immediate effect and I'm going to Johannesburg." "Oh, did you get another job in Johannesburg? Oh, that's great." "No, I didn't get another job in Johannesburg. I'm going to try and dance." "Oh, my mom, oh, we're back here again. It's only been 6 months." And you know, like, mom is like, "Oh, no, you know what? I know you don't understand corporate yet. Just hang in. It's gonna be, you know, don't run away from the hard work." I'm like, mom, I have to go." And I said things to my mom that now, after speaking to her, and we've healed together with through those things, that I shouldn't have, just because how much I was passionate, I was just not filtered, you know. And basically accusing her of hindering my dream and not wanting me, you know. And knowing mothers very well, all she's ever done is want me to succeed, you know. So I took a bus to Park Station, and it was winter, July 1st, 2014. I didn't know what cold was until I came
That's
here, and
why That's why I'm laughing. I always laugh at them
yeah.
when they come
And then so
to
that's how I got into dancing full time.
Yeah. Wow. That's inspirational. That's inspirational. And
It's a
it's
bit
very,
crazy too. Don't
yeah,
leave out the crazy part.
it's very, very crazy. For me, because now I'm very similar to you in a way. Even though we are completely different generations, I didn't know that I don't like corporate at all. But how it found expression was me job hopping. I job hopped, like, I think I still hold the highest record of job hopping. By the time I was 25, I think I had worked for 9 companies. And the shortest stay in a company that I've ever stayed was one day. I walked in, I worked, and I never went back. I actually wanted to leave at lunch, but that was a bit, that was gonna be a bit extreme. So I don't know, you've never read my book. You'll love my first book because I outline all that. So passion drove out security. So you chose passion over security. And did you struggle for a bit
Oh,
before you
I
got
was
to,
broke.
because you're a very successful dancer, you know?
I was broke and homeless, to
Oh,
say
but
the
that's
least.
heavy. Serious.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't want to go into detail, but I obviously coming from a paycheck to nothing.
Yeah.
I used up everything. Luckily, when I was working in IT, I didn't have a use for money because
Yeah.
I was at a stage where I mean, I gave her money. Like, she didn't want it, but I was like, I can't stay for free, you know. So I used to buy groceries in a form of like buying things. But other than that, I had not developed any spending habits because I never had money, you know. So I had no habit of spending money. So when I was working corporate, I never used my money. I remember my first paycheck, I gave it all to my mom, and I was just like, I just need bus fare.
You're such a good guy. Why aren't my kids? Utsulumalalele la. Why am I laleli?
Please do not compare to my sister. She was
Sule has never given me a salary.
shame, you know. And also that comes from like after working for a month, and then you realize you're about to get money, and then I'm Googling, what do I do with this money? And
Wow.
then I just find some good Samaritan on the internet saying, you know, if you stay at home and your parents make sure that you know you have a bed, you know it will it's a good it's ideal to give some to your mother, just make sure you have enough to get to work for the next month. So I did that. I mean, I think I bought one pair of shoes as well, but then you know I had some money. So the money I had when I moved to Joburg literally lasted me a month and a half.
Yeah, this traffic is not cheap.
Yeah, I also realized izambanelampondo, that concept came from Joburg, because
Yeah.
why is it so expensive here,
Yeah.
you know? And so I was broke, homeless, but I was so much better.
Well,
I was happy.
And you were
I was
dancing.
dancing.
We're gonna have a conversation about that story some other time, because I can feel with it. My heart wants to go there, but I also want to cover the things that we've already told the listeners that we'll cover. And
Okay, cool.
I'm looking at our time as well. Okay, so thank you once again. That's just, I didn't know how inspirational you are. And personally, I love people in the arts. I love dancers for obvious reasons. I have a dancing queen. And unlike your mom, I never wanted Sulu to do anything that she didn't want to do. So we've had a lot of conversation. It's the same with my other children. I guess also it's because of how I was Nan. I knew you that corporate is a shit show. So I wouldn't want Sulu for to get. Did you love the episode? If you'd like to listen to more, you know what to do. You'd simply have to subscribe. The subscription link is on all of my social media bio. It is also on the show notes right here on this episode and all the other episodes' show notes. You simply click on the link and you follow the process, and we will see you on the other side. For now, I wish you love and all green lights, as always.